Blog Talk Radio.
Manifest the life of your dreams, loving relationship, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Camp, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And if you don't have a copy of my book, you can get the first six chapters as a free download on my website at www.karencan.com. And and tell people about it. Go to my website, get a free copy. And actually, when you do that, I also have some free classes for you as well. I give you the discount codes for some of the recordings of some of my favorite classes, like muscle testing and using your intuition, the law of attraction, and really cool stuff like that. So what about today? Well, we're going to be talking about pest control. Now, people that have known what's been going on in my home over the last several months know that we had been overrun by mice. And I was kind of crazy. Usually in the summer, it's not that bad. And then when things start getting cold, the mice start wanting to find a warm home. And I totally understand they want to find a warm home and, you know, come into my house, and my house is awesome and it's great. But this summer was kind of crazy. You know, some of our neighbors were talking about it as well. There was just a crazy mice activity. So every night I'd be woken up in the middle of the night with, pitter-patter, you know, all in my walls, and, it was driving us nuts, and I was having trouble sleeping. So I went online to try to research some natural alternatives. Now, what we normally would do, and it was pretty effective, was, you know, traditional pest control, which is awesome, you know, and it works, is that you would put these boxes outside the home, and they would have poison in them. Rodents or whatever would actually eat the poison, die, and they wouldn't come in your home. And then inside your home, you'd have traps and different things like that to catch the little stragglers that would come through. Not the most humane thing, I understand. But definitely, because mouse poop is not healthy, we did not want mouse poop all over our home. So, you know, in some other world, maybe we can share our homes, but in this world, I just wasn't up for it. So I was trying to figure out if there's some other way of doing things that wasn't toxic. And one of the reasons why was because the snakes that are outside the home, natural predators of these mice, and they were eating some of the mice. It was great. And then the one year where we did have those boxes out, we found that the snakes had died and they'd eaten some of the mice. And we felt really bad that, that they'd eaten the mice, but then they died because of the poisons. So, like I said, we were trying to find other alternatives, and I was looking online, and I found Steven Bedden. Now, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but he is the author of The Best Pest Control 2, A Manual for Enzyme-Based Compounds Suited for the Environmentally Conscious Person. Now, I got to be honest, I have not used Steven's stuff yet, and I would like to share with you, you know, kind of my woo-woo alternative way of dealing with the mice so far, but I would like to talk to Stephen because if there are some other alternatives, I think it'd be great for those of us to know, first of all, does it really work? You know, maybe, you know, we're being hopeful, but does it really work? Now, his experience does. So I want to pick his brain about how he did it. And there's some other things that are out there that I've tried that haven't worked, you know, like, now, I know some other people say it works great for them, but it didn't work for me. But it was one of those, you know, electronic gizmos you put in the wall, and then it sends some sort of frequency, which is actually kind of annoying because it puts out this, you know, kind of sound. So that didn't really work, and I figured even if it did scare them, it wouldn't scare them for long because they realized that, hey, nothing happens. This frequency doesn't do anything. So I'm actually going to tell Stephen what I did, which is, like I said, pretty alternative and woo-woo. But we are looking forward to speaking with him today and talking about the alternatives that he's found. So he's a real, you know, integrated pest control, pest management expert. So let's see if we can get Stephen on the line here. Hey, Steven, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Hey, great to have you here. So I hear, you know, from my pest control friends who are in the business, great guys. They're like, I don't think there really is a real natural safe alternative besides the whole poison trap thing. And when I'm looking at your website, you know, reading parts of your manual, I'm having some glimmer of hope that maybe there is. So can you enlighten us?
Yeah, well, the thing is that there are a lot of people who have golden handcuffs. They make their living by putting down poison, and they don't want anyone to know the truth. Now, in the last 2 years, I've written 38 books. I'm writing the 39th book in How to Cure Cancer. And
wow.
One of the things that I can tell you are there are maybe hundreds of ways to cure cancer, none of which are legal.
Uh-huh.
They are restrained by the American Medical Association, by the medical colleges and universities, and also by the FDA. So that when someone tries to prescribe in medicine a safe alternative to chemotherapy, which only cures less than 3% of the people and kills many more people than it cures, they demand you use that because that's the only legal way of killing cancer in the United States. Let's look at the pesticides. It's the same thing. The Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, demands that anybody in the pest control business can only use what they consider to be registered pesticide poisons. And these are economic pesticides that are supposedly there to solve pest problems. Just absolute nonsense. They don't solve any pest problems. They have polluted the world, they've contaminated the world, and the entire, every living organism in the world, every living thing, tree, plant, bush, bird, fish, and human being, has chemical poisons in them at levels that are supposedly enough to kill the insect pests. They don't work. And many of the researches that I've done, like in the Cicero Swamp, they took a swamp and they did, it was a pristine swamp, and they went and did a mosquito count. The only thing you count in a mosquito count is the females. They're the only ones that bite. So they counted the mosquitoes, and then they sprayed it for, I don't know, 7-8 years. At the end of the time, there were hundreds and hundreds of times more mosquitoes there than before they began. And the reason for that was very simple. They killed all of the beneficials. They killed their allies. Now, people in pest control will say, we got to put this stuff down. They got to keep it safe because it's going to save you because you can't get West Nile virus and you can't get this and you can't get this. And, oh, my God, there's malaria and everything. In fact, people are still talking about reinventing DDT. But DDT, the mosquitoes are already resistant to it. So why would you bring it back? It's in every man, woman, and child in the world, the metabolites, DDT or DDE, all of it. It's in us. Because we put it all down. We were told it's safe. And they had people, when I was a kid, following the trucks that were spraying clouds or dancing in it. Well, now how many people have died since? We don't know. Nor do they care. The sad thing is that when you're dealing with people, they're more involved in money than they are in finding a cure. I don't care if it's in medicine or it's in pest control. I personally took 380 schools, and I took all the pesticides out of those schools. And for the first time, they were pest-free. Nobody in pest control can tell me that with all the poisons he's ever used, he's ever had a building pest-free. I can. And the reason for that is that there's a natural balance. I was down in Disneyland in Florida with my grandchildren. And it was a number of years back, and they were spraying nightly for West Nile virus, and it was December. And we were down there just to relax for the holidays. And they have a campfire in Fort Wilderness that you go and you watch movies and you can make s'mores and all kinds of good stuff. And my kids got bit 65, 85 times by mosquitoes. even though they had sprayed every night down there. I went back. I promised them that I would take them back again, and I did in the summer, which is the time for mosquitoes in Florida, not in December, because they don't like anything that's 50 degrees or cooler. So I took them back to Florida in the summer when it was raining, it was nice, and there weren't any mosquitoes. And they weren't spraying every night for West Nile virus. And I took everybody from the restaurants and anybody that worked for Disney, and I said to them, were you here in December when the mosquitoes are so bad? He said, oh, yeah. I said, you were spraying every night for West Nile virus. Yeah, that's true. I said, you're not spraying right now for West Nile virus. They said, yeah, that's true. I said, are you getting bit now? No. I said, do you know why? And they just looked at me like I was totally out of my mind. I said, look at the dragonflies. They're eating the mosquitoes. But when you use the pesticides to kill the dragonflies, you got mosquitoes. Because it takes longer to develop a dragonfly than it does to make a mosquito. So it's all, there's no common sense. It's when people are sitting back and saying, I got to put poison on because you don't want the bad bugs. I got to put poison down because whatever. It's like one of the things, I was in a hospital, and they were saying to me, can you come over here, Steve? We need to have some help. We got mice. I said, isn't that precious? So I was going to play with them for a while because I really like to get people's thoughts. And I said, have you tried Gluvart? Well, we can't. The nurses don't like to see the mice dying and crying out. We can't use Gluvart. I said, how about snap traps? That's instant death for them. Oh, no, we can't do that. That's some kid might get his finger in and smash his hand, and we'd be lawsuits. I said, how about rat poison? I said, you out of your mind? We called you because you're the pest control alternative. I said, let me ask you a question. If I can go down to the cafeteria and find something to kill the mice with, will you let me use it? So, of course we will. So I went down there and I picked up all the little packs of Equal they had. I took some medicine cups. Aspartame. The deadly poison.
Wow.
It's been said that if you drink one can of Diet Coke, you probably might get leukemia because of it. It was a poison. It was invented to make it as a pesticide, and nobody could get it registered because it was just too bad. So some Republican that I'm talking about had it registered as a food. So I took these little medicine cups, and I put three or four packs of Equal in them, and I set them down wherever there was a mouse turd. Within 4 days, there were no mice in the hospital, and they didn't smell because it turns to formaldehyde.
Right.
So here you are. It embalmed the mice. Now you sit there and you say, what on earth is going on? And that's what, as I said, I'm writing this book, and that's why I got a little late from calling you, because when I get writing, I'm not really paying attention to where I am. And one of the things that I was looking at is that I was asking a question. Why does our government demand that doctors can only use prescription drugs? That's the beautiful FDA. And why does our government demand that pest control guys can only use registered pesticide poisons? That's the EPA. But there's also people that are in the states, in the Department of Agriculture, that also do that. And I like to refer to those people in the Department of Agriculture as DOA, dead on arrival. And I have fought all those idiots for all my life. And I'm in my 70s. But fighting these idiots and trying to say to them things, they've come in and said, we're going to arrest you. And I said, go ahead. I won't make one call. I want to call Oprah or someplace. And they said, well, we're not going to go there. I said, we just want you to stop running. I said, how are you going to do about freedom of speech and freedom of press? Well, finally they said to me, so we don't care what you write because nobody pays any attention anyway. If it's in a newspaper, they use it for wrapping dead fish or garbage. They don't care, pay any attention. It doesn't make any difference. And I've had them sit back and tell me that they know, the people that are in the regulatory business, know that in the history of pesticides, we've only been here since World War II, basically. Prior to World War II, we were an organic nation. We survived. We survived. We prospered. But since that time, they used the same crap they used to kill my people in the gas chambers. The neurotoxins. They made them into pesticides. They sold those same death formulas to the American chemical companies to make them into insecticides. And when somebody uses a nerve gas, you wonder why. And if you don't think it's a nerve gas, read the can, the label. It says, note to the physician, it will adversely affect an enzyme. Adipose tissue and everything else is affected by it. But if you sit back down, cholinesterase is what that nerve gas does. And it, if you see, it says anything about cholinesterase, it means run. Well, I got to put this down, kill your bugs. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Well, you can get rid of every couple. What about the solids? You know, like you got some solid killers that aren't supposed to kill the reptiles, although we did see evidence of that, and it's not volatilized into the air. So some people may say, well, you know, the rodents will eat it, but how bad could it be? Because it's not in the air, and it's not going to be touching humans.
I don't believe there's a poison that doesn't get in the ambient air. I don't think there's anything that's solid. You know, when you wear jewelry, gold and silver, it becomes part of you. It gets into your body. So I don't know. Honestly, it's like somebody sitting back and saying, remember those silver fillings you had there? I said, silver fillings?
Yeah,
those are mercury fillings. Yeah. I said, well, why in God's name would you put mercury into my mouth when that's what made the Mad Hatter mad? Why would you do that when one drop of mercury in a water would contaminate the lake? But you can put all that in my mouth right next to my brain. Are you out of your mind? Well, it doesn't volatilize. More, it does. Even though it's a metal, it volatilizes. Now, let's look at something. If you kill something in your house, anything, it's going to decompose and you're going to breathe it. Let's look at cockroaches. Mm-hmm. Many people in New York, more people and kids in New York, die from asthma attacks than any other city. And they are full of cockroaches. All they have to do to get rid of the cockroaches is 1 hour after dark, leave the lights off and go in with a red light. That light spectrum is something that the insects can't see, but you can. That's why when you go to a zoo and the nocturnal animals, you want to see them. They got a red light where the bats are flying around during the day. All the other lights are off. And when they want the bats to go to sleep, when we are out, when we leave the zoo, they turn the regular lights on in the bat cages.
Hmm.
It's the same thing with the roaches. If you turn on a red light, they can't see it. Turn on a regular light, they run. But you turn on a red light, they'll stand there. Now, you can vacuum them up. If you vacuum them up, the average home would take about an hour at the most, maybe depending on how bad it is, sometimes only a few minutes. But you vacuum up 90% of the cockroaches tonight. 6 weeks, 2 weeks later, 1 week later, you get 6%. 2 weeks later, you know, second week, you get 4%. You got 100% of the cockroaches gone. None of them are going to be there rotting. None of them are causing cockroach allergens. You paid nothing to the pest control guy.
You vacuum the cockroaches because they come out at night, and if you don't put on the light, they actually all the way come out. They don't, like, breed a, you know, bazillion cockroaches in between.
No. One of the biggest lies the pest control guys will tell you, if you see a cockroach, there's a million of them.
Yeah,
I said, really?
Sure.
Well, I'll tell you something. I had a lady at the school, one of our schools. Somebody had brought a cockroach into the school on a wheelchair. That's how we figured it out finally. But what happened was that she saw this cockroach, and she demanded that the guy that was superintendent of the building here in that for the district bring in one of the pest control guys and fumigate the building.
Mm-hmm.
He called me up. He said, Steve, what do you think? I said, let's go and do an inspection at night with a red light. We found 2 cockroaches in the entire building. And we removed them. And they didn't have any more cockroaches. And the principal then was asking, when are they coming to fumigate the building? We went and tended. I said, tended building for 2 cockroaches? It's all nonsense.
Wow.
You have to ask yourself a question. Do you trust somebody who's making money? If you come to a guy and you say to him, do I need new shoes? And he's a shoe salesman. What do you think he's going to say?
Yeah,
he's
but
gonna
we
say,
all
of course
sell
you need
something.
New shoes. Yeah, but why do we have to sell death?
Mm.
Why don't you have a pest control guy that says back, he said, I'll vacuum them cockroaches up for you, ma'am. I made more money not using pesticides than anybody who's using pesticides.
How?
Because I would go to the school and say, I'm going to charge you $100 a month for every one of your buildings. So it was $1,200 a year for each building. And I said, I'll get rid of all your pests without using any pesticides. No matter what it is, I'll take care of it. Head lice on the kids, crickets in the field, mice in the kitchen, you know, roaches anywhere. Doesn't make any difference. It's all covered. There isn't a pest I won't cover. And what happens is that, like I had one guy, Northmont School District down there in Dayton area in Ohio, hired me because when they would apply the pesticides, there were kids there that they were bleeding out of their eyes, noses, ears, rectum, and the other openings that they have. And he said, we're hiring you, Steve, to come down here and save our kids from the pesticides. There's an wonderful man, this guy. At that time, it was he was the second in command at that district.
Wow. So
and he said, we know you're going to make the pest problem worse. I said, you're hiring me to make your pest problem worse? Yes. A month later, he called me back. He said, there aren't any pests anywhere, Stephen. Why? What voodoo did you do? I said, I didn't use any voodoo. I used common sense. Pesticides do not destroy pests. If they worked, there wouldn't be any pests.
Right.
So when you get rid of them, the predators, the natural predators feed on them and take care of them. There's a balance out there. We weren't overwhelmed by pests. In fact, prior to World War II, we only lost 2-3% of our crops to insects. After we started putting tons and tons and tons and millions and millions and millions of pounds of poison on our crops, we lose 18-20% of our crops.
Wow.
That's the insanity of all this. We're going to save you. Oh, yeah? Doctor, take that stuff and keep it for yourself. Don't practice on me. Pest control guy, take your poison and put it where the light don't shine. Because I'll tell you something. There are many, many ways to remove pests without using any poison. And I put that in my book, and I give it away to the world for free. The problem when you give somebody something for free is they think it has no value.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're dumb. I remember when my wife was pregnant with my, he's 50 now. He's a doctor. He's got his own clinic.
Awesome.
He doesn't agree with me on a lot of things. But we had a dog, a German Shepherd, that was whined to go outside when I looked at she was getting bred by the most ugly dog I ever saw. And so my wife was pregnant, and the dogs had babies before she did. And she was down in the basement cleaning this up. And by this point, the puppies are the size of beagles. And she said, Stephen, you're going to have to hit them in the head. I can't stay here. I can't do it. I'm vomiting with all this puke. The stuff that poop that's down here. So I couldn't get rid of them. I talked to thousands of people and said, would you like a free German Shepherd mix puppy? And they wouldn't take it. Finally, one guy, there's an old FBI guy, took one, the biggest one. But I couldn't get rid of the others. And so I put an ad in a paper 50 years ago and said, German Shepherd mix puppies, only $25 each. I sold every one of them. Every one of them that next day.
Yeah.
Because people are dumb. They think if you pay somebody, you're going to get a good job.
Well, it's just the way it is. Hey, Stephen, we got about 5 minutes left only, but I want to make sure people know how to get to your website and how to contact you.
You get on my website at www.thebestcontrol2.com. So it's thebestcontrol2.com.
Okay, sounds good.
When you get on there, go ahead.
Oh, no, sorry. You said that you have a manual for free for people?
That's it, at thebestcontrol2.com. It's on the Internet. So it's a book that has 2,000 pages. It has 40 or 50 different ways to get rid of most pests, including roaches and rodents. Like, for example, I went and I asked several mayors in New York if I could come get rid of their rat problem. And they hired a guy named Bobby Corrigan, I think, for $50,000 that told him to throw the rat poison in the street. Everywhere you look in New York City, you'll find boxes of rat poison. And the kids are being affected by there's allergens along with rats. And I said, I'll get rid of all your rats for free. I'm the Pied Piper from Marne. And I'd be happy to do it for you. And the guy wouldn't trust me. He said, how do you do it?
Right.
I said, well, my first research when I was in Hell's Kitchen was that I looked down this alley and I saw all these rats. And I started laughing. And the police officer came over. He said, well, are you drunk, sir? I said, no. He said, are you high? I said, no, sir. He said, what are you standing here laughing about? You don't look like a bum. Yeah, because I had a suit on. And I was sitting here just laughing my head off. And I said, I found the perfect rat trap. He said, what? What are you talking about? I said, look down the alley. What do you see? He said, I see garbage and rats. I said, if you really were trained in criminal investigation like I would have been, you'd understand there's a perfect rat trap there. Because rats avoid anything. You put down rat poison, you put down a trap, whatever, they avoid it. They stay away from it for a long, long time. They have a fear of anything new. But they have no fear of a garbage can. So you take a garbage can, I said, take your shillelagh there and beat on the back of that door there. And it was a Greek restaurant that I knew the guy. I'd just eaten there. And I said, give me a hose. And I took a garbage can, I filled it 2/3 of water, and I poured garbage on the top. And I put it to where the rats could get at it easy. And I stood back and I watched, and the meanest, baddest rats jumped in and drowned. Now, if you throw a rat in the East River, it'll tread water for 4 days. But in that bucket, where the food is, like you can float anything like sunflower seeds or oats or whatever, fruit, depending on wharf rat or Norway rat, his nose is in between that, and he snuffs up a little water. Within 3 or 4 minutes, he's drowned. And even Pettis said that's not going to be a harmful death to the rat. So you get rid of all the rats in New York by simply using garbage can tricks. Do they do it? Why? No. Why kill the golden goose? There's a fortune being made by putting on rat poison that doesn't work. There's a fortune. Every day, in every way, we make money.
So, Stephen, how do people prevent mice from going inside the house? Because I really wanted someone, a pest control guy,
peppermint.
To do the work.
Peppermint oil. Peppermint oil.
A
few drops of peppermint oil, no mice go anywhere. I have a cleaner that I invented. It's a perfect pesticide. It kills insects, arachnids, fungus, mold, mildew, germs and virus without harming you. And all it is dish soap and meat tenderizer. And it's called treatment, enzyme cleaner. But when you mop the floors with it, you don't have any mice because one of the ingredients has got peppermint in it. And they don't like the smell of peppermint. Now, my farm, I used to grow peppermint here. It's now a nature preserve. But the peppermint grows wild. It's an invasive species. You can't stop it. But no deer eat it. No woodchuck eats it. No gopher eats it. No chipmunk eats it. No rabbit eats it. No insect eats it. No mold eats it. Nothing eats peppermint except us. People have peppermint candy and peppermint gum.
Yeah.
And peppermint is not an uncomfortable fragrance, but it'll keep the mice away.
So you could plant mint all around your house?
Yeah, or you can get some drops of peppermint, put it in there. You can go to the grocery store and get peppermint flavoring, but you want peppermint oil.
Right. Well, the oil volatilizes, so it doesn't last very long. You have to keep treating it, what, every day,
well,
every
you'd
week?
You'd be surprised. I know, but I'm just saying, it's just if you clean with a peppermint cleaner, you don't have problems. Because you do it daily. My point is that the reason why mice are coming into a place is because they can smell your food.
Oh, yeah.
So if you keep your food in Tupperware or glass jars sealed or the refrigerator or the freezer or someplace where they can't get at it, they won't stay. There's nothing for them to eat there. What you do have is that people leave food around all the time and wonder why they have mice. And I say, you don't really, if you're going to feed these pests, change the word to pets and call them Mickey and Minnie.
Well, they seem to like the peanut butter traps, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's easy to kill. You'll find many, many ways in my book on how to get rid of mice. But as I said, whether you're using aspartame or you're using a bucket trap or garbage can or whatever you're using, there are many ways to get rid of mice and rodents or rats. There's many ways to get rid of any pest. You know, like one of the things the guy said to me, he says, why do you always want to sell your product? I said, I don't want to sell my product. I said, what amazes me that people buy all this poison in the store to kill lice. And I have a lice treatment, lice are gone, that removes lice and nits without combing. And I sell that. But if people don't have any money, I said, if you just go put your head in the salt water, you won't have lice. Salt water kills lice better than any pesticide.
Wow.
Salt water. Just plain salt water.
Yeah.
If you go swimming in the ocean, you don't have lice.
Right. Well, what about those fat big flies, those cluster flies that get in your windows? They usually spray for that too.
You don't want to do that. First, if you read anything in my book, I'll tell you, don't spray for cluster flies. You don't want them to die behind your wall. You can vacuum them up. And we got people coming to get me, but you how much time we got left?
Okay, we're time is up. We're on the recording now, so the live stream is stopped. But let's just
call me back. We'll do another one.
All right, sounds good. The best control is you.
Yes. But we'll do we can do mini shows if you want.
Yeah, that sounds great. This is fantastic. I feel like I just got a free consult. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you so much. Have a nice one.
But we love those kind of cleaners anyway. So this is perfect, you know, to get something that's non-toxic. I like enzymes and you've definitely convinced me. I know you know your stuff. So thank you so much for being on the show, Stephen.
No problem, Karen.
All right, until next time. Bye-bye. And thanks everyone for listening in. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.